So tell me, how many of you were awake early enough this morning to watch the sunrise? No? Have you ever watched the sunrise? It's quite spectacular, isn't it? If you haven't, kids, when you're on holidays, you know, just wake mum and dad up real early and just tell them the minister said you should watch the sunrise. But you know what's spectacular about it? The light completely overtakes the darkness. You know, when you're out in the bush somewhere or wherever it is you go on holidays, away from town, nights are dark. It's black. And yet that blackness first seems to just get a little lighter. And then the light just diffuses over the expanse of sky until that vivid brightness of the sun peaks out its first rays, and the last vestige of darkness is completely banished. The light has dawned. And there is no mistake. There is no misunderstanding this fact. Even on the darkest and the greyest of days, there is no misunderstanding that the sun has risen, the darkness is banished, and the light is victorious. Because where there is light, there's no place for darkness. Even the smallest light will always defeat the darkness. The tiniest candle will dispel the gloom. If you've ever been in a cave, completely black, and you light a match, and the darkness is gone. It's therefore no accident that the creation of the world begins with the words, "Let there be light." After all, the power of God is at work, the power of life and light. Victorious power against which nothing and no one can stand. And as you probably are aware, and I hope you know, the account of creation and the beginning of the Gospel of John have much in common. You see, John reminds us of the beginning of time, when he who is the Word already existed, when he who is the Word spoke, and all things came into being. And then he goes on and he puts this together and he makes this astounding claim that in a world of darkness, conquered by sin, in the blackness of our depravity, into the gloom of the curse of death, the word of life and of light has come again. Because just as the coming of light is the work of the grace and the power of God, John's opening words are the reminder of a new creation. It's happening again. God is at work. And so God's creation of his redemption, if you like, begins with the entrance of the light of life into the world. The light that comes, as we read in Corinthians, into the heart of every believer. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And what John is talking about here is a complete recreation. He is talking about that first Christmas day, when the light of life shone in the darkness, when the one who is the Word from the very beginning, from all eternity, came down to live among us. As you continue to read chapter 1 in verse 14, John says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." For the Word, of course, is God revealing his heart, speaking in the clearest and most practical way imaginable. his love and compassion and forgiveness to the world and to us. For the Word is Christ. And so if we want to get to know this amazing God, if we want to get a glimpse of what the Almighty is thinking about you and me and our neighbours, and what sort of person he is, how much compassion and care he has, to what extent he is willing and able to forgive us, then we need to know this Jesus. As Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. God sent a special message that first Christmas, a message that will never be equaled, a message that cannot be dimmed, a message that will shine forth like the brightness of the sun and declare the warmth of him who said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We get here this contrast of Christ the Lord, divine, all-powerful, yet humble and gracious. We see the Word of God in bodily form, a creation that says, I made you, I care for you, I love you. We see right from the beginning the God who is all things, in all places and at all times, who doesn't say, I'm too high and mighty to come down and to be with you as you. A God who went all the way to experience how we live, how we feel, how we suffer, and how we rejoice. A God who comes to give life, real life, meaningful life. And the revelation of God in his Word doesn't get any more complete than this. Because as Revelations points out, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the complete Word of God to mankind, the climax of God's revelation to us. So God speaks of his love in flesh and blood that Christmas day. John asserts in his letter that this is really true. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. And so simply put, on Christmas Day, we celebrate the day the Word, who created the heavens and the earth, the expression of the personality of God, came down to earth to take away the darkness of sin, of your sin and my sin. And every Sunday again, we celebrate that fulfillment of life. We celebrate from the death on the cross to the resurrection in life, to the right hand of the Father, so all we can have is eternal life. John begins with a clarity that is unmistakable. Christ the Lord, the Creator, comes to us to take away our sin. Christmas Day, Almighty God in everyday life, in your life and in mine. And then the question really comes down to what do we do with it? And particularly with Christmas, only how many hours away? 6.5. Does this still excite you? Sometimes I think we get so busy in the rat race up until Christmas that we forget who it's all about. And sometimes we hear it so often, it just becomes like white noise. Christmas, Christ, yes, we know. And especially, you know, if we come to church every Sunday, we hear it every week. Does the birth of Christ excite you? Do you acknowledge every year again that to him you owe everything? That even our very existence is not possible unless he who is the Word, who spoke all things into being, spoke you and me into life. Colossians 1:16-17 explains these first words of John a little further. for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Have you thought about Christmas like that? That this baby is the Creator, the Almighty God, the one who simply spoke and everything came into being. Because that's what John talks about in this chapter. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then goes further and says, in him is life. And you might say, well, what are the essentials for human life? Well, we could say light is one. And to that, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Air is another. Yet he is our breath of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need water to drink, and Jesus is the water of life. And we need daily food, and he is the bread of life, the living bread that comes down from heaven. But you see, he is more than that. He is not simply all of these things to give. He is them in himself. He is our light and our breath and our drink and our food for every moment of every day. He covers all of that we are in physical form, and he covers all of what we need in spiritual life. We owe the fact that we can eat and drink and breathe and sleep to the baby of Christmas. But even more importantly, the fact that we can be saved, that we can believe and know God our Father is based entirely upon this child. For he is life. In Jesus, God's purpose and power are brought down to our level so that we can have our hope in him. For life is the gift that Jesus brings. A gift that is just beyond measure. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And if you ever are tempted to compare presents, you know, who got the best, who gave the most expensive and all the rest of it. No, we wouldn't do that, would we? Compare it to this, a gift of eternal life. And everything else just fades away. And what John really is asking us to think about, have we seen this light? Has that light dawned for us? Because without it, we're still in darkness. It's one or the other. This was a common contrast in the days that the scriptures were written. Light is good and darkness is evil. And so Jesus is the light of the world. He is the perfect goodness of God given for us. Without him we see nothing, there is no hope for us. And you might think that blind sinners would welcome the light to help them see, but that's not always the case. Now, as at every Christmas again, people hear about Jesus, they talk about Jesus, they celebrate his birthday, they sing songs about Jesus. And then you ask, what difference does it make in their lives? And if someone were to look at you, would they notice the difference that he makes in your life? Because when the true light comes, the darkness will oppose it. If you were to translate John 1:5 literally, it probably would be something like this. The light keeps shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it nor overcome it. And you see both aspects come through in the Gospel of John. People don't understand what Jesus is saying. And after a while, most of his followers leave. The people begin to oppose him. And finally, with one voice, they crucify him. Paul says the same in 2 Corinthians 4:4, where he writes, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And what about us? Do we understand what the word is saying to us tonight. Do we understand and appreciate the grace that is being offered to us and highlighted every Christmas again? Do we understand it in such a way that it impacts our life, that it changes our hearts, that it continues to overwhelm us, that the grace of God could be so amazing that the words of life and light that come through Christ, the grace that gives full and free forgiveness despite our worst sins as we turn to Him, is given to us freely, without condition, to simply accept and believe? Do we appreciate that it is indeed Jesus alone who can dispel the gloom of sin and darkness in our life? Does it remind us and astound us that the assurance of our salvation is based on the power of the light of Christ that cannot be overcome, no matter how strong the opposition? Because just as the first light of the new day cannot be blocked out in the heavens, and even the smallest light will light up a room of darkness and not be dimmed by it, so could the light of Christ in our hearts can never be put out once it shines there. Because now that the Word has come into the world, the darkness is passing away. The true light is shining. And as we walk in this light, as we bathe in the sunshine of Christ, the darkness cannot overcome us either. This light cannot be overcome. Opposition to it is futile. And because of this, as we know that then, as we proclaim this message of Christmas, as we sing of the Saviour of the world, our words are not in vain. For the light cannot be overcome, the darkness cannot overcome it. That God will use even the weak words we speak to bring about the salvation of those whom He has called to be His people. The word will not return empty, but achieve the purpose for which God sent it. It will shine into the hearts of those whom God has called to be His own. You see, because although light and darkness may be opposites, they are never equals. Darkness doesn't stand a chance against light. Where there is light, darkness cannot enter. And so we believe and proclaim that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world is and continues to be the dawning of a whole new creation, the gift of light, the gift of eternal light given to us in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom we celebrate and adore. Let His light continue to shine. Amen.